You turn with me, if you got your Bible with you, and if you don't have a Bible with you, I really encourage you to start bringing one with you to worship so that you can follow along. You can also do that on your smartphone, by the way, if you're smarter than me, that is. I got to tell you what I'm laughing about. I'm having a memory up here of back in former days when we first called Mike and Kelly Nieto as associate pastors at Covenant. Remember? And on, I think it was Mike's first Sunday in worship, he got up to read scripture and he pulls out his phone and he's fiddling with the phone. And I'm sitting there, the boss, thinking to myself, what is that knucklehead doing with his phone? He was reading the scripture. What will they think of next? I'm starting a new series today. It's going to be four Sundays beginning today, and the title of the series is The Gospel Truth. We're going to be focusing on the gospel, what it is, the content of the gospel, because the gospel is a specific message. You know, we use that term gospel. We use it in two ways, really. We use it to refer to the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They are gospels. But we also, in the New Testament, talks about the gospel, the message about Jesus. Now, you probably know that gospel means good news. That term gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, is the English version or the English translation of the Greek word euangelion, from which we get the word evangelical, as in evangelical Presbyterian church. And the Greek word means literally good news or good message. The English word gospel started out in Old English as Godspell. You may know that. Which means good, well, you break it down, it's two words, good spell, which means literally good message, good news, gospel. So my question is, what is it? If I were to give a test right now, which don't worry, I'm not going to, but if I were to give a test right now and pass out 3x5 cards, could you write the gospel in 50 words or less? And what would you say? No, let me read our text. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. I, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for a moment? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, once again, I want to ask you, and of course I'm really not expecting an answer from you. We don't have time for that, but what is the gospel? Could you write it in 50 words or less? You can, by the way. You can write it out in 50 words or less. It'll fit on a 3x5 card, the short version of it. My main focus today is to remind us that it's possible to lose the gospel, and in fact it happens all the time. It's possible to distort the gospel, and it's possible for churches to latch on to a message that is a false gospel, that is no gospel at all. That's what happened to Galatia. And it happened within probably about a year after Paul had established the church in Galatia and left, and within a year they'd gone off the rails and were teaching a false gospel. And that's why they get one of the most blunt letters in the New Testament. When the people in Galatia opened that envelope, smoke came out of it. It's possible to lose the gospel. It's possible to even sit in church and think you know the gospel, and all the time to be believing a false message that will not save. One of the most influential books in Christian history, other than the Bible, is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And I hope you've read it. If you haven't, it's an old classic written a few hundred years ago, and it's still worth reading. Well, anyway, in Pilgrim's Progress, it's an allegory. It's an allegory of the Christian life as a journey. And the main character is Christian. And Christian begins his journey on the narrow path by entering through the straight gate. But as he's walking along, all of a sudden there's a couple of characters that instead of entering by the straight gate, they jump over a wall and jump onto the path. And John Bunyan was very subtle about their names. Their names are Formalist and Hypocrisy. And Formalist and Hypocrisy are strolling along the path with Christian, and they say, in essence, they say to him, because he challenges them, how did you get on this path? You didn't enter by the narrow way. You didn't enter by the straight gate, which is Christ. How can you be on the path? Well, they say, and I'm paraphrasing here a bit, Formalist and Hypocrisy say, well, what does it matter? We're on the path. And Bunyan's message is, because they, both of them will eventually fall away from the path, Bunyan's message is, there's a narrow way, and those who think they're on the path but are believing falsehoods are not going to make it to the destination, which in Pilgrim's Progress is the celestial city, heaven. Now, in a similar way, Paul is warning the Galatian Christians about a false version of the gospel that has entered in. And apparently what happened not long after Paul left Galatia, some false teachers came in. Most commentators will call them the Judaizers. We'll get to more of that in a minute. But they came into the church in Galatia and they started teaching, look, you know, Paul's gospel was all right so far as it went. But it didn't go far enough. And it just needs some things added on to it, because you're missing some things. This grace alone stuff, it can't be that easy. And there's not enough rules around here. So we just need to, and more about that in a minute, but something in the church at Galatia had gone radically wrong. Paul wrote, "I am astonished you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." To turn to a different gospel is to desert him who called you. Do you follow that? To turn to a different gospel is to turn away from God. And specifically, these false teachers wanted to reimpose some of the requirements of Judaism. And of course, many of the early Christians had come out of Judaism, but many were also, and especially in a Greek region like Galatia, there were many Greek converts who had not come out of Judaism. So these false teachers of this false gospel said, yes, grace alone, but the men need to get circumcised. You all need to follow the dietary codes of the Old Testament. You all need to strictly observe the Sabbath as required in Old Testament law. And Paul will have none of it. He says, "For freedom Christ has set you free." This is at the end of chapter 4. "For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So, the first thing I want to draw from this text is the obvious, that it is possible to deviate from the gospel. In fact, it's not only possible, it's likely. It only took the Galatians a year. There's something in the human spirit, there's something in the rebellious human spirit that rebels against the gospel and so wants to adjust it a little bit to fit our crooked hearts a little bit better. And the Apostle Paul takes this very seriously. Did you notice his letter begins with a very standard greeting, the kind of thing he did in all of his letters. But usually in most of his other letters, after he does that standard greeting, he goes into a thanksgiving. He says, "I thank my God every time I think of you. I thank my God every time I pray for you," as he said to the Ephesians, not the Galatians. "I am astonished. You're deserters. You have deserted the one who called you by turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel." Desertion, that's a serious word, isn't it? Just ask Bo Bergdahl. That's a very serious word. I grew up in a Christian family. We were a Christian family and a family very active in the church. And so I heard the gospel from a very early age. And I first prayed to commit my life to Christ when I was 7 years old. And then again, not really a recommitment, but maybe a deeper commitment because I was older and more aware, when I was 17 years old at a summer camp, and probably many of you could tell about God's work in your heart at a summer camp experience. I was 17 years old at a summer camp and heard the gospel once again and was challenged to commit my whole life to Christ, and I did. Now, over the years and on my journey to the celestial city, there have been times I have been tempted and probably slipped into the temptation to add something to the gospel, because my crooked human heart doesn't think grace is quite enough. And after all, I really like my crooked human heart, and this is what the crooked human hearts in Galatia really liked something measurable. Something that you can see from the outside, that you can measure who's in and who's out, who's righteous, who's a saint and who ain't. Because after all, you know, what good is religion unless I can be better than you? And that's what was going on in Galatia. That's what goes on in every crooked human heart. There have been times I've been tempted to formalism. That if we just get the outward structures right, if we just get the right order of worship and say all the right words, we get the creed in the right place, God will be so happy with us. In other words, there have been times in, I did the math, it's been 43 years since I prayed that prayer as a 17-year-old. That's really surprising for a guy who's only 46 years old. So I don't know how that math works out. But there have been times in these 43 years when I have taken my eyes off the gospel and looked somewhere else. And I think we all do. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, is he ever going to get around in this sermon to telling us what is the gospel? Well, just hang on. There was a woman, she went into a pet store on a Monday morning, and she buys a parrot, and she took it home. And the next morning, she's back at the pet store, and she says to the owner, the parrot doesn't talk. Owner says, he needs a ladder. Climb on. Needs a little bit of exercise. So she buys a ladder, takes it home. Next morning, she's back. Parrot still doesn't talk. He says, he needs a bell. He needs a toy. So she buys a bell. She puts it in the cage. She comes back the next day. He's still not talking. He needs a mirror. So she buys a mirror, takes it home, puts it in the cage. Comes back the next morning. Parrot still not talking. He needs a plastic parrot friend. She buys a plastic parrot to go put in the cage. She comes back Friday morning. Sorry, I lost my track there. I'm thinking about the punchline. She comes back Friday morning. He's still not talking. Pet store owner says he needs a mirror. So she buys a little mirror, takes it home, puts it in the cage. The weekend goes by, the pet store is closed. She walks in Monday morning, she's all forlorn and downcast. She said, the parrot's dead. And the owner says, well, did he ever talk? She said, yes. I found him lying on the bottom of his cage, and I picked him up and held him and I put him up to my ear, and he said, doesn't that pet store sell food? Brothers and sisters, we die without the gospel. It is the nourishment of the Christian soul. It's the nourishment of every human soul. And it's what every human heart needs to hear. It needs to be fed. And we need to hear it over and over again to be sustained in it, to be reminded of the truth of the gospel, because we're going to be tempted to false gospels that do not save. Without the gospel, we die. So, I'm going to ask you again. What is the gospel? How about this? God will forgive your sins if you believe in him. Is that the gospel? There's nothing about Jesus there. Nothing about his cross. Nothing about his resurrection. How about God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Is that the gospel? No? How about you can have your best life now? My teeth aren't white enough. Sorry, it doesn't work. How about God will empower us to bring social justice to an oppressed world? Is that the gospel? Okay. Here's your assignment. And I very seriously, I want to challenge you to do this, although you don't have to show it to anybody else. You don't have to bring it in and show it to me. I'm not going to tell you today what is the gospel. I want you to figure it out and take a piece of paper or maybe even a 3x5 card. And in 50 words or less this week, write out, you put a title across the top, the gospel. Do you sometimes in your Christian journey lack joy? I do. And when I do, it's usually because I've lost sight of the gospel. Are you growing into spiritual maturity or are you stalled? I get stalled, and when I get stalled, it's usually because I've lost sight of the gospel. Do you find yourself weighed down with guilt and regret? I do sometimes. And usually it's because I've lost sight of the gospel and taken my eyes off the good news, the truth of the gospel. So that's why over these next Sundays, beginning today and for three more Sundays, we're just going to bathe in the gospel. But I want to begin by challenging you to search your heart, search your Bible. You could even go online. 50 words or less. What is the gospel? Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for the saving power of the true message of the gospel that came to us to call us to yourself, to make us new and whole. Oh God, refresh us in the gospel. I pray for each one here in this week ahead that writing out the gospel will be a spiritual adventure, will be a spiritual journey deeper with you. Send your Holy Spirit, God, into each life. Refresh us in the gospel. Renew us in the gospel. It is good news. Good news that the world so desperately needs, that we so desperately need. So we thank you for it. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.